Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, Vadim?
How are you doing, Justin?
I'm cold. In fact, yeah. Do you know what? We've had our heating bill's gone through the roof because we've got lots of building work done. And I think it was in November, it was like 450 quid for the month. And then December came in at 550 quid for the month. I thought, it's like £6,000 a year we're going to be spending on heating. So I think part of it was because I was living in my office and I've got a 3 kilowatt heater. I mean, keeping me warm. But so that's why I've got a top on today. I'm trying to keep the electricity bills down.
Well, I am cold too, exactly. I know. Same for me. It's just, it's proper winter now out there.
Yeah, well, I tell you who's feeling the cold is Rachel Reeves at the moment. I think this pressure that they are under a lot of pressure. Every paper, every headline pretty much is talking about bond yields and the cost of government debt. And I think, if anything, the budget was a disaster. They're never going to admit the budget was a disaster. They're never going to come out and say, oh, we did it wrong there. We shouldn't have punished business, which are the growth engine of the UK. We should do it some other way to raise money. So they're never going to say that. But I think now the pressure on them to do something, and in fact, there's bits in papers today, in City AM, in Telegraph, Times, saying she's now asking cabinet ministers and Keir Starmer for ideas on growth. Now, it seems like it's a bit late for that, isn't it? You've been in the job since July, but I think now going forward they realise the budget, punishing business is a mistake, and I think going forward they'll probably look for other ways to raise money because they'll have to raise money or they'll have to cut spending in other areas.
But
they
are looking for growth. Unfortunately, what financial markets are telling them right now is that it's whether we like it or not. I think the only outcome to something like a bond scare is cutting spending. And that's, I think there's talk of a March, not emergency budget, but in the budget update that she might be.
The OBR, OBR has come out 26th of March, the OBR, Office of Budget Responsibility. They're coming out with an update on finances. Right. And of course, the cost of debt has gone up so much. I think she had like 10 billion headroom for day-to-day spending. That's been reduced to nothing, pretty much, because of the cost of servicing debt. So, what I like about this, you can't BS the markets. You can put as positive spin as you want. You can have your, spin doctors out there. And this is in the UK and America. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, your ultimate judge is the bond markets. And there's a lot of money in there. You can't sway that. Trillions and trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they are your ultimate judge at the end of the day, aren't they?
Yes. And I guess in democracies, people might not like that. And don't get me wrong. I believe in democracy. It's just that the fact of the matter is if you're borrowing from third parties, then you answer to them. And that's the fundamental problem of debt. Never lender or borrower be.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, when you have to raise money, when you've increased borrowing to get some growth going, and it's not like turning out as you thought, and because you've cut on the short term, you've cut the legs off business. They think, hang on, they're not going to achieve growth. There's a big seller in the market, in the bond market. There's the UK government, and in fact, America, the debt levels are huge in both
countries. Well, you're right that the US, in some ways, has the same problem. I mean, I do think markets are betting on Trump for growth and all that. That's fine. So he probably has a bit more wiggle room because he's overseen a huge stock rally on his first term, right? Before COVID. But I think the issue fundamentally here is that once you get cornered by the market as a government, the only way out is to cut spending. Whether we like that or not, it's not a political issue anymore. It's just the market will only forgive you in that way. So if you think about it right now, or put it this way, do you think the alternative strategy is to raise taxes more? No, that's what got the government in this position, right?
Exactly.
So the only alternative is to cut spending, which unfortunately, you know, it doesn't sit well with their platform.
Or they literally, I mean, in America, they are trying to do this with Elon Musk and Doge, you know, Department of, what is it called? Government efficiency. That's, they're going to have to get more efficient. You know, they're going to have, the people in the government have cut the government size in some way and just become more efficient. Maybe that's good for AI, but I mean, you know, there's no two ways about it. They're not a cut investment now. So it's amazing how it's spanning out. But it's not good for, like I said, you know, equities, because essentially when you get bond yields going up, like a big sellers in the market, like the US government is selling bonds, selling bonds, you know, that pushes the price down of bonds, of course, pushes the yield up. So, and the thing is, the issue is why this is not good for equities is that why would you, if markets are rolling over, which they are, I think it's the first or second week of losses on the NASDAQ. And when you have, you know, risk investments, and they're rolling over and going downwards, and you can get a safe 5% in a government bond.
Yeah,
you just pull your money out of equities, you know, and that's the worrying thing. So, and I think the only I don't know what's going to happen is the Bank of England will reduce interest rates, but I think they're going to have to, because it's come to a state now where
if they
keep interest rates high, it's an extra cost on business, and that's the last thing they want to do. And that will in itself plays into inflation, because they're going to raise their costs, raise prices. So it comes to the stage where you raise interest rates so much, it's almost inflationary, you know?
Well, the problem is that if you have a bit of a run on sterling, you have no choice but to keep rates up. In fact, you might even end up raising rates in circumstances. I mean, that's what happens, right? If you have an attack on the current, right now, sterling's dropping because yields are popping. Okay, that's...
That doesn't happen very often. It's like normally the way around, because the price of the currency is judged by the interest rate. And yet sterling was falling and interest rates were going up. So it's really odd, this. I mean, apparently this has only happened before. No, last time it happened was in 1976. And it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign.
It's an attack on the currency. So people are starting to worry about the fiscal responsibility of the government. Just like under Liz Truss, right? So that's the same thing happened under Liz Truss. Yields popped, went up, and the currency collapsed, okay? And then the central bank response, if the currency starts dropping very aggressively, the only response the central bank has, in response, is to raise rates. Yeah. So that's terrible for financial markets. And that's exactly kind of what we're starting to see. We're not seeing a complete attack on the currency yet, but what we're starting to see is the uncertainty around that is affecting equity markets immediately. And it's unfortunate, because I'm telling you from our own experience in small cap healthcare that we were starting to see a recovery in December, January.
Do you know what? While we're talking, the last chart I just showed was a 30-year government yield. And that is as high now as it was in 1998. I've just got a pop here. I mean, it's completely unrelated to what we generally talk about, but I've had Brent crude just shoot up there. Look at that. Over 3% in one session. I don't know if there's any news around.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was looking for that actually right before this call, because gold, crude, and even Bitcoin have been up pretty aggressively today.
Why is that? Copper Towers, but Brent crude advanced fills. No, I can't see any news there. I'm sure something will come out on that.
Yeah. But
that's an unusual pop in one session. Today, that is. Look at that.
This morning, in the last couple of hours, actually.
So yeah, that's just
something is going on. I don't know if it's maybe something like, you know, war related or whatever. I don't know.
I hope not.
Middle East
it
related.
Does feel like that. Anyway. Okay. Let's talk about some stocks. Vadim, what do you want to start off with?
Yeah. So let's talk. Okay. You're just talking about this recovery. Again, let's caveat that with, you know, what we can't control, which is the budget and its impact and all everything we're hearing about bond yields. That's obviously taking, everything is kind of pausing again all of a sudden. And this is in the last few days. But prior to that, and you can see it with a few small transactions that have taken place, but companies that are, you know, that have been hit hard historically over the last 3 years in this biotech downturn are starting to see a bounce. One company we've discussed at length here, you know, it's had all kinds of issues. It's been, you know, through a NASDAQ listing via, started out on AIM. This is Spectral MD, which is now called Spectral AI. You know, they were initially listed on AIM. They then moved to NASDAQ via SPAC. Stock price got hit. It's had a difficult time, you know, and then on NASDAQ, they were hit by short selling, etc. But then in the last 2 months, there's been a quite significant rally in the stock. I mean, it's hit a high of, as you can see there on your chart, of $3 something.
It went from below one pretty much up to 3.2. I mean, it's come off last few sessions, but so has the NASDAQ, to be honest. It's
just, exactly. But you can see the trend reversal there, right?
Finally,
it's broken out. It's broken through all its moving averages, and it's definitely moving in the right direction now, this stock, which is great to see. You know, that's a good example of this recovery I'm talking about. And, you know, I think there's a long way to go on this one just because it's just, you know, this is a company that has $250 million of financing from the U.S. government, an agency called BARDA. And its market cap is, what, $50 million? It doesn't make any sense. Mm. It doesn't stack up at all. It was one of these beaten down stocks. And then once the market starts to recover and catches on to this, you start getting what we're seeing right now. And this is how I define a recovery. I mean, go back even further. You can see how it's done nothing for 3 years and things all of a sudden are starting to recover. That was just a SPAC. The collapse at the very beginning is when the SPAC deal gets got closed.
Yeah.
So this is a good example. Mm-hmm. Another stock that we follow is, and one last thing on this one, is that there is news flow that is imminent. We're expecting a trial result imminently. And that we hope, you know, you never know with 100% certainty, but this isn't a clinical drug. It's a it's a diagnostic test, if you like. It's an AI-powered test that determines whether a burn wound is going to heal or not. Okay, so the risks of a trial failure here are much lower. It's not like when you're testing a drug and you find out that the drug does something that you didn't expect it to do. You know, clinical trials on drugs are far more risky. So here the risks are much lower. The kind of previous results on the accuracy of their AI-powered camera is quite high. So there's no real reason to believe that the data will come through any different than it has in the past. And it's very powerful. So ultimately, we expect a good trial result, and we're expecting it any day now because they said they would get it done by the end of 2024. And I imagine that it slipped a little bit into 2025. So I'm expecting to see that any day. And in the US, usually stocks, you know, aggressively respond to positive trial results. By the way, this is the pivotal trial. This is the result that gets them the data that they need to file with the FDA. And then once they file with the FDA, and they're hoping to file with the FDA in H1 of this year. So, you know, then they'll be commercial hopefully sometime in 2026. I say commercial. Meanwhile, they are getting revenues from this BARDA contract, which is the $250 million that I was telling you about. They make about, I think expectations are for about $28 million in revenues this year. So, you know, again, there's another metric for you, $28 million in revenues from BARDA and a market cap of, you know, whatever it is, 50, 60, I think right now.
Yeah. Well, after yesterday's drop, I think it's down to showing 46 on here.
Yeah, there you go. So again, a dislocation between the valuation. That's why I think people are starting to get noticed.
Yeah. Okay. What's next? Anything else?
Yeah. Another one is Hemogenix. That's another company we act for that is also expecting news of the commencement of their trial. And then recently they did a small placing recently. And they did the thing that was of note is how close they are now to recruiting their first patient. So kind of expecting that any day too. And that is a CAR T therapy. This is now therapeutics. CAR T is all the rage right now. You know, there are pretty significant deals that are being done in this area. I'll just explain what that is. It's in the area of immuno-oncology. You have you take a cell, an immune cell from the patient who's suffering from cancer, from a form of cancer. You modify it to recognize the cancer. So you take these cells out of the patient, and then you expand the cells that are modified, that you've modified to recognize the cancer. And then you put them back in the patient and they kill the cancer. And it's had very, very good results. All the other CAR T therapy, many other CAR T therapies out there. So they're bringing their first CAR T therapy into patients, which is a pretty big milestone for this business and long awaited. And that's imminent. So we hope to see something there in the coming weeks as well. And I think that would be another driver of interest in the stock.
Yeah. Okay. And they consolidated, didn't they? The shares recently.
Yeah, they did a consolidation. So a pretty big one. I think they have £4 roughly is their share. But yeah, there you go. £4 as you have there on your screen. So it was a penny stock. And I think a 400-to-1 consolidation.
Okay, and there was some news out. We mentioned Cambridge Cognition. I mean, it wasn't.
Let's bring out their latest announcement. I haven't had a close look at that one. It was something to do with their being part. They're part of a larger trial. Yes, the
Bristol Myers Squibb, which is obviously a big company in America. Recent FDA approval, and they used their technology, didn't they? So there we are. So. Schizophrenia treatment. So Cantilab digital assessments provide accurate and objective. So they use that and say, and that's quite validation when you get, they say companies like Bristol Squires and Bristol Myers Squibb, using Cantilab.
Absolutely. So, again, remembering this company, what they do is they help pharmaceutical companies. So their clients are pharma companies in assessing whether there's changes in cognition in the patient. So here it's, a schizophrenia drug. Their original major indication is Alzheimer's disease, right? So because that's where you have changes in cognition. But they are branching out into many other areas, schizophrenia being one of them, Huntington's disease, other areas where cognition is important. But that is the next big therapeutic area. It's already becoming so because there were two drugs that were approved for Alzheimer's disease, and there's more to come. It's such a large indication, Alzheimer's disease, just that indication, right? Obviously,
it's huge, isn't it? I've noticed it getting more attention here, and you realize that we have generally, most of the Western world have got aging populations, so it's going to get bigger,
Exactly. I mean, just to give a bit of history, cardiac conditions were the number one killer. So, as in cardiovascular disease, so heart attacks, strokes. We kind of took a big those indications took a big hit with the invention of statins in the 1990s. So, I think everybody knows about statins. Most middle-aged men take statins onwards, right? These are drugs that lower cholesterol. That significantly reduced, and obviously lifestyle changes and knowledge about it, the improvements. But that was a big pharmaceutical win in the 1990s. And as a result, the next big therapeutic area was oncology. And now with immuno-oncology, again, cancer is taken. It's not to say these diseases and problems have been resolved, but medicine has advanced and they've taken a little bit of the sting out of the death rates, if you like. The next big therapeutic area now, because as a result of all of these solutions, people are going to be living longer. But the next one is going to be CNS disorders, so central nervous system disorders, namely Alzheimer's disease, but other ones included in that category. So that's already starting to have an impact on in drug development. It's the next big area, if you like. And this is where Cambridge Cognition sits. They sit as a supplier to pharma companies in this area, and there's a lot of pharmaceutical drugs in the pipeline in this space. So people are starting to clue into the fact that Cambridge is undervalued. Their stock has rallied actually since the last time we spoke.
Look at the stats. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew, amongst older people, and we are understanding, we are aging populations in the Western world. Yeah. It was always like cancer, heart and dementia. Yeah. Now, this is Alzheimer's Research UK. They're saying that leading cause of death in 2023. So it's gone up the chart there. It's not happy number one. My mother had dementia, you know, and parents had dementia. Mm-hmm. It's still not good for me. But like I said, it is, it's a good thing. But when you have these numbers, then it becomes increasingly, like you say, commercial. For companies to head for this, which it may sound a bit sort of brazen and out there, and sort of a bit crass, but essentially it'll end up helping people with dementia. So it's a good thing at the end of the day. So if you're talking about investing,
it's been the holy grail in many ways to have any kind of effect on Alzheimer's disease, and only this past 2 years have the first two drugs ever been approved in Alzheimer's disease. So there is a real change. And there's real momentum in the sector, if you like, because these drugs have an impact. You know what
Look
I mean?
At this. September 12th, 2022, right, was the last time the share price of Cambridge Cognition finished above the 200-day moving average. Look at this today. Today, it's just above the 200-day moving average. It hasn't done that since September 2022. So that's a very good sign. We're seeing, a rise here, maybe the end of the downtrend to start, end of the downtrend is finished there. Maybe we're starting an uptrend. It's normally when you get a significant rise like that, you may have to go sideways for a while. But it's looking positive, considering just it hasn't closed above a 200-day moving average.
For so long.
Where are we now? Two and a half years. So maybe the bottom is in, maybe. Who knows?
And I mean, if the market starts to turn and biotech, drug developers start to be able to refinance, then they'll get more and more business. And that's been the story of so many stocks over the last 2-3 years. But if you're in the right sector, and they are, and we've always liked this stock for that reason, I'm a holder of the stock. I've sold a little bit over the last 3 years, but I'm still a holder. And I'm glad to see that it's starting to break out again, and go. I genuinely feel that they're in the right place. They're in the right sector. Now, let's not look. We can't sugarcoat the fact that revenues have flatlined and contracted, and they've had problems, and they're still searching for a new CEO. All these are issues, but they are definitely in the right space.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvelous stuff. Well, keep an eye on that. COG is a ticker. And like I said, beforehand, look at that rally it had back in 2020. I mean, that was the bull market and the frothy top. But it did go from below where we are right now, 19 pence, up to 190. That was a 10 bagger.
Yeah.
And sometimes, companies like that, when they get the momentum, they can really motor, as long as they haven't issued loads more shares since that happened. And I don't think they have, but
they were profitable or break even. You know what I mean? They weren't really hemorrhaging, and their revenues were going up quite aggressively during COVID.
Cool. Thanks for that, Vadim. And speak to you next monthy.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.